Good morning.
Good morning.
It's time to begin our worship. Please silence your cell phones and prepare for worship while enjoying the prelude. Good morning again, and welcome. Lots of great smells coming from downstairs, but bear with us. I don't think it's going to be ready for a while. please register your attendance on the registration sheets in your pews. Pass it to the others in the row, and make sure to return the seats to the center aisle. But make sure and take note of who's sitting next to you. Lots of guests I see today, lots of new faces, and let's make sure they feel welcome. Make sure to look through the calendar of events in your bulletin and printed announcements. I wanted to highlight a couple of them. Today's Consecration Sunday. Pledge cards for all members, the estimate of giving for next year, I requested to be turned in today. It takes all of us to fund the ministries of First Christian Church, and all of us are blessed by the joy of giving when we share what already belongs to God. As everybody probably knows, all church Thanksgiving dinner downstairs, that's today after the worship, head on down. Everyone's welcome. Share a great meal. There's a book fair. Items are available today in the preschool area. See Cheryl Dion to purchase children's books as Christmas presents for little ones and benefit the preschool. I wanted to highlight the Quilt of Valor recipient. Today at 2:00, Raylan Heck will be among the number of local veterans being presented a Quilt of Valor at the VFW Hall on Bryan Stock Trail. The quilt has been handcrafted by the FCC Friendly Quilters Group.
It's the Fellowship Quilters.
Okay. I'm not a very good reader, so it could have been me. But okay. but also, I wanted to highlight that Bob Cook is receiving a quilt as well. So, with that, there's other announcements, but please feel free to read them. Does anyone else have any announcements we should highlight? Very good. Let's all stand now and greet those around you. Then we'll continue our worship by singing Come Ye Thankful People Come, verses 1 and 2. It's located on page 718 in your hymnal. Morning, Paul. How are you? Thank you. Please join me in the call to the worship. Call to worship with the responsive reading in the bulletin. We long to hear the words of God spoken through our ancestors.
We long to act with courage like the prophets of faith.
For the gifts of faith, we give thanks to God.
For health and strength and daily bread, we give thanks to God.
For shelter from storms, for comfort from friends, for all that is good.
For the promise of peace, for bread to share, for life itself.
Let us give heartfelt thanks to the Lord. Please pray with me. Loving and gracious God, make each of us an instrument of your grace. Help us to empty ourselves of those things that hinder us from knowing the fullness of your love. And fill us with those things that tend to make us all that you want us to be. Hear us now as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Our hymn of praise today is number 719, Come Sing a Song of Harvest. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. So all of our little ones in worship are invited to come down front. And hopefully I counted right. Good morning, everyone. There is a special holiday happening this week. Those of you who go to school get a couple days off of school. And on Thursday, something really special is going to happen. What happens on Thursday of this week?
Thanksgiving.
Are you going to have turkey at your house? Raise your hand if you're going to have turkey. You're going to have something else, like maybe ham, potatoes. Don't raise your hand if you're going to have green bean casserole, because my husband will come to your house. That's his favorite. Well, after church today, we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner here with our church family. And Thanksgiving is a time for us to remember that we are thankful to God. I want each of you to be thinking about something really special that you are really thankful for. We're going to take time this morning for each of you to share something you're thankful for. I'm thankful that we have so many people in worship this morning. We have some wonderful guests and friends that we don't get to see every week who are here. I'm thankful that this week I'm going to go to New Mexico and see my sister and have Thanksgiving with her. When you think about what you're thankful for, this morning we're going to have a special time of prayer of Thanksgiving. And I brought candles, and each one of you can light a candle if you have something that you are thankful for. So I want you to be thinking, and if you have thought of something that you're thankful for, you can come up here and have a candle and light a candle. Okay. What are you thankful for, Madison? Your family. Here's a candle. Can you light it from the light and then put it in this candle holder? We're thankful for our family. And can you stay here and help your little sister? Maisie, what are you thankful for?
My family.
Your family. There's a candle for you to light. You all be thinking about what you're thankful for. Okay, Max, what are you thankful for?
My family.
Your family. We are so blessed to have wonderful families that we love. There's a holder for you. Colin, what about you? What are you thankful for? Thankful for the whole world. That covers a lot. Here's a holder. We'll put your candle in there. Okay, who's next? What are you thankful for? For your family. Light a candle for your family. And there's a holder for you. We have somebody else? Okay, you're going to help Delilah? Delilah, what are you thankful for?
My family.
Your family. Okay. You have your candle. You can light it up there. It's way up high. You could light it from this candle right here. You don't have to go up so high. There you go. Okay. And there's a holder. And Connor, what are you thankful for? Your family. Wonderful. We'll get you a holder. And then Dad is going to help Mackenzie. Mackenzie, what are you thankful for? Ooh, popsicles. We have so many things to be thankful for. We're thankful for popsicles like Mackenzie, and we're thankful for all of our wonderful families, and we're thankful for the whole world. What a wonderful thing to be thankful for. We're going to have, what, Delilah?
I got food in my hair.
You got food in your hair. Sometimes that happens on Thanksgiving. We get so excited. Yep. We're thankful for all the food we get on Thanksgiving, and hopefully most of it goes in our mouths and our tummies. Will you all pray with me? Dear God, in this Thanksgiving season, we pause to pray by lighting candles and lifting words from our hearts. God, we give you thanks for all the blessings of life, for the joy of sharing wonderful things like popsicles. We thank you for each of our families, and we pray for people who need a family. God, we thank you for the whole world. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, Amen. Thank you for coming, children. You can go to worship and wonder in Sunday school or sit with your families. As our children head out of the sanctuary, I would like to draw your attention to the prayer list on the back of the bulletin. In the pew rack in front of you, you'll find prayer cards. It's a simple postcard with a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank for you to write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. Our card shower this morning is for Paul Halleck, for his son Mark, and for all of their family. Paul's grandson, Eli, who's 13 years old, lives in the Denver area. He began having health difficulties about a week ago and was taken to receive medical care. It was discovered that there was a mass. He had surgery to remove that tumor. It's since been biopsied, and the diagnosis is he does have lymphoma. There is a strong prospect for healing from this cancer, but it will be a long-term recovery with chemo treatments probably lasting 4 to 6 months. It's a long time to be in the hospital when you're a teenager, a long time for mom and dad and grandpa to be worried about a little one. So we join with Paul and Mark and all of the family in praying for Eli and praying for healing. If you'd like to write a prayer card to anyone in the family, please do so, and we'll make sure that Paul delivers those for us. It's also been a challenging week of health concern for Mary Oliver. Mary's husband, Jim, sings in our choir. Last Saturday, Mary was having difficulty speaking. They took her to the ER, and it was soon discovered that there was a mass in her brain. She had brain surgery on Monday. Thankfully, it was not a tumor, but a blood clot that the surgeon was able to remove. She has since regained her ability to speak. She's been up walking and doing therapy. So please continue to pray for Mary and Jim Oliver for full recovery for her in the weeks ahead. Prayers of sympathy are offered to the Triplett family. Just a few weeks ago, we had a memorial service here for Billy Triplett, a longtime member of the church. His brother, Charles, died unexpectedly. There will be a memorial service for Charles tomorrow night here at 6 o'clock p.m. The family will have a dinner reception afterwards. If you would like to help with serving or cleanup, please talk to Randy Sue Davis as she's coordinating those efforts. Prayers for the family and friends of Charles Triplett. The missionary we're lifting in prayer today is Michael Joseph, who serves in Colombia, and we continue to pray for families affected by the wildfires in California, for those who have lost their lives, and for those who have lost homes, for entire communities that have been affected. Every Sunday, our congregation prays for another church in the region, one of our Disciple of Christ prayer partners. It's part of a prayer chain the region has. This morning, of all churches to be lifted in prayer, is First Christian Church in Casper, Wyoming. So today we're praying for the leadership of our own congregation. Numerous staff members are listed there in your bulletin. I'd encourage you to pray for our preschool and our scout troops, as well as for leaders in the church, both the staff and the lay leaders on the board. Are there other concerns today that we want to lift up or joys to share? Debbie.
Yesterday we had a blanket list and we made 58 blankets. So we are now up for the, when we started, we're now up to 800 or 893 blankets. Thank you everyone who contributed material and human health or whatever.
Praise the Lord. 58 blankets in one day is an excellent effort. That's just amazing. Cindy.
I know a young man named Cade, and he went in for a routine physical, and they found an abnormality in his heart. He's only 16, so it's pretty scary stuff.
Prayers for Cade, who's 16 and has a heart abnormality. Charles.
prayers for the Ostrander family, Phil, Becky, and Levi. Levi has been struggling and not sleeping well and calling out for what they think are his foster parents back in China. And it's just really struggling, and no one is getting much sleep. So prayers that they, that he gets some rest and they all get some rest, and that he feels that this is possible.
We're thankful that Levi and his new mommy and daddy have all made it home from China. Prayers as he continues to adjust, that he will come to know this is a safe place, though it is so strange and people speak a language he does not yet know. We pray for comfort for Levi and for Phil and Becky. Steve.
Prayers for all those that are traveling this next week.
Prayers for travelers. Greta. Prayers for Henry Kuiper as he receives hospice care for his wife Luella and all of the family. Let us bring all of these prayers to the Lord in a time of shared silence. Holy Creator God, your grace is abundant and amazing. Your blessings flow beyond all measure and naming. During this week of Thanksgiving, we give thanks, O God, for blessings innumerable. As our children teach us, we thank you first and foremost for our families, for those who are closest to us, for those whom we love, and those who love us sometimes in spite of ourselves. We give thanks for the gift of church family, for a faith community where we are accepted as we are, to know you, O Lord Christ, to grow in faith, to struggle and to share, to support one another. We are blessed. O Lord, as we name the circle of blessings, it widens further and further, encompassing indeed all the world. We thank you, God, for all that you have made and called good. O healing God, on behalf of those who are sick or suffering, who are struggling, Lord, we ask for your physical presence with them, for your signs of healing brought through doctors and nurses, through counselors, through support, and Lord, through miraculous intervention. We pray for health, for strength and peace and hope, for young Eli and his family, for Mary Oliver, for Cade, for Henry Kuiper. We trust in you, O God, to know that each one will receive healing in accordance with your will. For some, at the end of life, the healing is eternal peace and rest. For others, a cure from cancer, recovery from surgery. O God, bless each one. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of fleece blankets tied to be distributed through agencies in our community. We pray your blessing upon the 58 blankets made yesterday, the hands that tied them, and the lives that will be warmed because of them. We ask your blessing upon those veterans who will receive quilts of valor this afternoon, that they may be blessed by a sign of knowing their service is deeply appreciated. Be with Raylan Heck and Bob Cook and others who will be honored. Lord, we pray for comfort for the triplet family as they grieve again. We thank you for the life of Charles and pray for peace as he so soon follows his brother Billy home to heaven, to your waiting arms. Lord, we thank you for the loving arms of parents. And we pray a special blessing upon Phil and Becky Ostrander as they try to help Levi adjust to a new setting that is so foreign for him. Oh God, we ask that Levi will sleep well at night, that he will know he is safe, he is loved. When he tastes food that is familiar, may he be comforted, and when he tries new foods, may he be excited. When he sees toys that he loves, may he find joy, and when he receives new gifts, may it help him know that he is truly loved. Oh God, we pray for emotional health for Levi as he adjusts to his new home. We give thanks for a safe trip home from China. And we pray traveling mercies upon all of those who will be traveling to see loved ones this Thanksgiving holiday. Holy and gracious God, for those who serve you far from home, like Michael Joseph working as a missionary in Colombia, we pray your blessing. And for those who serve you right here in our own community, we pray your blessing. For the staff and volunteers who lead your ministry at First Christian Church in Casper, O God, we pray a measure of your spirit as we work together for your future. O God, we give you thanks for the simplest of things, for food to eat, a roof over our heads, and clothes to wear. And we pray for others who have lost those blessings, including victims of wildfires in California. Oh God, when we are filled with gratitude to you for your abundant love, may your love overflow through us, through giving, so that our words of thanks truly become thanksgivings to help others. In the name of Christ, our Savior and friend, amen.
As disciples, it's our tradition to invite all followers of Jesus Christ to join in the celebration of Holy Communion as just one way to celebrate our given unity in Jesus and his church. Come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. From the Purple Chalice Praise Book, let's sing hymn number 164, We Have Been Redeemed, as we prepare for communion. We'll sing it two times through.
Thank you.
We have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. We are welcomed in this place, in this sacred moment, by Christ himself. As we come to the table, we remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. All who long to know God's love in Jesus Christ are welcome to share this feast. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
O God, the giver of our daily bread, we pause to give you thanks. As Thanksgiving approaches and we prepare for the feast to come, may your presence be felt among us. In memory of Jesus, we partake in his body, broken for us. Also, bless this cup, which helps us remember Jesus' life given to each of us. May drinking the cup prepare us spiritually for the task of being Christian in our daily lives. Use us as your instruments of faith and service throughout the days ahead. Amen.
Thank you.
Debbie Metz is going to visit with us about the Thanksgiving offering.
As families in our congregation know firsthand, higher education costs are skyrocketing. In recent years, student debt has surpassed credit card debt in terms of total debt owed by Americans. Our disciples, colleges, and universities, and our theological institutions continue to work at providing quality education, keeping costs down, and providing funding to assist disciple students and others. As disciples, we recognize how important higher education is. Since our founding, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ has been committed to higher education. Today, over 50,000 students attend our 14 disciples-related colleges and universities, or 7 seminaries and divinity houses. In the past 12 months, over 12,000 students have graduated from these fine schools. Alexander Campbell, founder of Bethany College, believed that churches and colleges go hand in hand in the process of Christian hand in hand in the progress of Christian civilization. When looking at our world today, the social, political, and religious context have changed since Campbell wrote those words. However, the work of educating and forming students intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, and physically continues. We continue to do our part as a church. Our gifts to the Thanksgiving offering help support the work of our institutions of higher learning in many ways, financially supporting disciples-related schools, providing undergraduate scholarships and support for spiritual life offices, and providing scholarships and support for those pursuing theological education. The world in which we live continues to change. Our commitment to the importance of both communities of faith and of higher education present from our founding continues. May we please give generously to support this important work. Thank you.
Thank you.
We give thanks, O Lord, for all the blessings of life. Receive now these tithes and offerings as a sign of the gratitude in our hearts. Amen. Give thanks to God for the noble heritage and the many beauties of our great country he has entrusted to us. Raise your voice in praise to God and country. The song, America the Beautiful, was based on a poem written by the professor, poet, and writer, Catherine Lee Bates, while traveling west in 1893 with a group of teachers from New England. After a long ride to the summit by horse and mule-drawn wagons, a view of Pikes Peak provided a panoramic spectacle that was the inspiration for Purple Mountain Majesties. In her words, one day some of the other teachers and I decided to go on a trip to 14,000-foot Pikes Peak. We hired a prairie wagon. Near the top, we had to leave the wagon and go the rest of the way on mules. I was very tired, but when I saw the view, I felt great joy. All the wonder of America seemed displayed there, with the sea-like expanse. It was a journey that prompted one of the most beloved songs ever penned, America the Beautiful. Maybe we as Christians and as Americans love this song so much because it captures something what we love about America itself. Whoever you are, wherever you go, there's always something beautiful to see. There's always something to love. There is always something to be grateful for. The United States of America is unique. It is vast, extending from the Atlantic in the east to the Pacific in the west, or as Bates put it, from sea to shining sea. Wasn't a mountain alone that motivated Bates. Her experience on Pikes Peak was actually the pinnacle of a long journey through the heartland of America. In all, she wrote 14 stanzas to her poem, America the Beautiful. There were at least 75 different melodies written for the poem. The hymn tune that we sing today was written by Samuel Ward, a church organist and composer. Bates and Ward never met.
A visit to a lagoon at Chicago's Columbian World Exposition in celebration of the 400th anniversary of the discovery of America by Christopher Columbus inspired the image of alabaster cities in the final stanza. A vision of Kansas wheat fields observed by train stimulated the memorable phrase, amber waves of grain. Besides poetry, Bates was also known for her advocacy of labor reform, especially for women and African Americans. Her poem was written only a little more than two decades after the conclusion of the Civil War. Perhaps the realities of this national injustice underlay the petition at the end of the original stanza two, God mend thy every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. America, America, God, shed your grace on us.
Thank you. Very, very moving. Our scripture reading for today will be Joel 2, 21 through 27. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord, your God. For he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain, as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, choir, and Amber, and Ethan, and Dennis, for that moving gift. I invite you to pray with me. O good and gracious God, we are blessed abundantly in this moment, Lord. Make our hearts thankful for your abiding presence in our midst. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may overflow with gratitude to you and be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The prophet Joel wrote in a time following the exile. The Israelites had been banished from their homeland. They could not worship in the temple in Jerusalem. They were held captive in Babylon. When they returned, that time of exile haunted them still as a people. As a nation here in America, there are times from our past that still plague us. The evil of slavery, injustices done during times of war, the loss and hurt and heartache even of a civil war, though that was far beyond our own generation's remembering, it still defines part of who we are. The prophet Joel wrote to a people who knew heartache and loss. In fact, if we read earlier in chapter 2, we have an inkling of what the people had suffered through and struggled. "To you, O Lord, I cry," said the prophet, "for fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and flames have burned all the trees of the field. Even the wild animals cry to you, because the watercourses are dried up. Fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness." The first half of Joel chapter 2 deals with agony and loss, with heartache and barrenness, with tragedy. Imagine, if you can, what Thanksgiving would feel like for you this year if you lived in California. If you lived in a part of the country where wildfire has taken away so much from so many. At chapel this morning, Carol Sage, our leader today, was quoting a little boy about 10 years old that she saw interviewed on the news. The reporter asked him, "What do you miss the most?" His family had lost everything in the fire. The little boy said, "I miss my bed. And I miss the ceiling over my head." We are so blessed with abundance. Sometimes we think only that that abundance is the physical gifts that we have. The clothes on our back, the bed in which we sleep, the ceiling over our head, whether at home or at church. But truthfully, if all of that was lost tomorrow in a cataclysm, we would still be abundantly blessed. For the Lord is with us. The prophet Joel was speaking to people who knew what it was like to lose everything and then find hope again. Knowing the despair they had been through, the words of the prophet are all the more powerful. He speaks not just to the people of God, but to all of creation. "Do not fear, O soil," he says. "Be glad and rejoice." The prophet calls on the very earth beneath our feet to give praise to God. "Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit." Even after devastating fire, the forests recover. God has so ordered the world that creation itself recovers life after the greatest loss. "O children of Zion," Joel says, "be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before." In the Middle East, where Joel was living and writing among those ancient Israelites, there were seasonal rains that came early in the year and late in the year. Each helped to bring harvest, to green the fields again, to help the animals thrive, and to bring life to the people. In your own life this Thanksgiving season, are you blessed with an abundance of rain, or are you in a time of heartache and loss? Wherever you are on your life's journey, know this, that God is with you. God's love is abundant beyond measure. The beauty of the physical world in which we live is a sign of that. But even if we couldn't see, God's love is still so real and ever present. This Thanksgiving, I invite you to reflect on the abundance you know in your own life. Take a moment right now to picture something that speaks to you of abundance. Perhaps you imagine yourself, like Catherine Bates, standing on top of Pike's Peak, and you are moved by the abundance of this great land, amber waves of grain and purple mountain majesty. Perhaps if you picture abundance, it's something closer, near at hand. A Thanksgiving feast spread on a table like we'll share in a few moments this morning downstairs. Turkey or ham, green bean casserole, sweet potatoes with little marshmallows on top. More pie than any of us need. The abundance of Thanksgiving in terms of the feast itself is an intentional sign to remind people of the abundance of God's love. According to legend and lore rooted in history, that first American feast in the early 1700s was a time of abundance, but it followed scarcity. The first pilgrims who survived crossing the Atlantic in creaking wooden ships faced hardship. In a strange land, they eked out a living, struggling. Many died in the first winter. Life was hard. The residents that they found already in this land helped them learn how to survive in a wilderness, taught them things as simple as how to plant corn, how to grow pumpkins, and what to do with a strange squash they'd not seen before. That Thanksgiving feast that was shared between new settlers and longtime residents, according to lore, was a bounteous feast. It may not have actually looked too much like the meals we share today. My guess is there was no whipped cream out of a can to spray on a pie, no nice electric or gas oven for baking and reheating. But the meal that was shared was indeed a sign of abundance and a sign of thanksgiving, that they knew they would make it through the hard times. God's abundance is real. Rejoice, O soil. Do not fear. Do not be afraid, animals of the wilderness, people of Zion. Do not fear, your Lord is near. It is easier to give thanks when you're not afraid. And how do we live without fear? To live without fear does not mean you will not face heartache, but it means you know you have someone giving you strength to make it through the hard times. This morning, I think of both the Halleck family and the Oliver family, who have known significant heartache in the past week with sudden and shocking and severe health diagnoses. And yet, in the midst of that, there is thanksgiving to God for the presence of the Lord, even in the hardest of times. What does abundance look like for you? Waving grain and purple mountains? A table spread to overflowing, or the presence of family and friends nearby. Perhaps the abundance isn't in the number of relatives who gather with you, but in the depth of love you feel for those who are closest, near and dear to your heart. Try to picture and hold in your mind an image that speaks of abundance to you. I picture my grandmother's fruit cellar in the basement of a house in Des Moines, Iowa, filled with a summertime full of fruits and vegetables harvested and canned, preserved to last through the coming winter. The rows of jars on those dark shelves in the cool of the earth sometimes gleamed like jewels set in black velvet. Precious, flavorful, nutritious, and nourishing, there was always an abundance in my grandparents' basement. Grandma would say, "Go down and get the canned beets, or the canned tomatoes, or the ears of corn from the freezer. Go down and get the applesauce, the homemade apple pie ready to be baked." The abundance was there waiting. Her gift of storing and canning came from generations before, of pioneer women who knew scarcity on the plains, of how hard it was to eke out a living and to raise food. Perhaps in some ways, my grandmother was closer to the lifestyle of those pilgrims long ago than I am. But when I think of abundance, I picture grandma's canning jars filled almost to overflowing with just enough room that the lid would still fit. What is a sign of abundance in your life? Abundance to overflowing. Maybe it's a bucket of Halloween candy the kids have brought home that still is around. Abundance. Maybe it's the mountain of laundry waiting to be done. Abundance. Maybe it's a stack of bills, or maybe it's the awareness you have the money to pay those bills. Because God is blessing you, giving you daily bread, what you need to make it one more day in this world, one more year in this life. Whatever abundance looks like for you, I encourage you to know that that is a gift from God, given freely. Pressed down, overflowing beyond measure, God's love is present with us always. In seasons of abundance and in times of scarcity, God's love never wavers. And so we do not need to fear. We do not need to fear the wildfire or the locust. We do not need to fear the scarcity, the hard times, because even then, God is near. We do not need to fear the cancer diagnosis or the struggling relationship, because God's strength and presence is with us always. Because of the generous presence of God's abundant love, we can give thanks, not just on Thanksgiving, but every day and always. The psalm for this day comes from Psalm 126, a harvest of joy. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The people who heard the prophet Joel knew the promise of abundance even after scarcity, and so they joined with the psalmist in rejoicing. "The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves." It's a wonderful, historic hymn, bringing in the sheaves. It comes from a time when our society was more agrarian. Children today probably don't even know what sheaves look like, stalks of corn and hay and wheat and barley tied together for harvest. The harvest is so plentiful that the sheaves are carried in abundance, and we come rejoicing. The hymn comes from Psalm 126, that those who go out weeping, carrying seed, will later come in with joy, bearing the harvest. If in your life you are in a season where you know seeds of sorrow, may you be reassured that God's abundant love is meant for you, and the harvest will come. When we are filled with thanksgiving, our fear subsides, and we rejoice in the Lord and can give from the abundance we have to bless others. We are blessed this morning to have so many guests and visitors here today. Thank you for coming to be with us in worship, and we pray that you'll stay for the wonderful meal afterwards and get acquainted with others. For those who are members, this Sunday marks the culmination of an annual fall stewardship season, when members of the congregation are encouraged to reflect on their own financial health and well-being, to include in their family budget a gift for the church in the coming year. This morning is marked on our church calendar as Consecration Sunday. We bring to the Lord a sign of the gifts that we hope to give in the coming year. It is an act of faith. When we pledge, we promise ourselves to the Lord that we will continue to share in ministry in this place as we are able. From our own abundance, we give to God as we are able. This morning, we take time in worship for a special prayer of consecration. To consecrate means to make holy, to dedicate, to mark as set aside for the Lord. This morning, members of our congregation, along with their tithes and offerings and prayer cards, have placed in the trays this morning sealed envelopes that include their estimate of giving for the coming year, their promise to try to support God's work in ministry. We add to those pledges that have come in the previous weeks during the stewardship campaign. And we ask God's blessing upon each and every pledge that is made, upon each and every gift that is brought. We consecrate them to the Lord and dedicate them to God's service. Will you pray with me? O good and gracious God, the harvest is yours. You are the one, O Lord, who speaks to the earth beneath our feet, to all of creation, and to the depths of our own hearts, promising your abundant, abiding love. O Holy God, this day we ask your blessing upon the pledges that we faithfully bring to you, to support ministry as best as we are able in this place in the coming year. Lord, we pray for your blessing of consecration, of making holy and sacred the promises of your people to do your work, O God. Bless and multiply these gifts to your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 717 in the hymnal. The tune is from the Ash Grove, "Let All Things Now Living." As we stand and sing this song together, if there is anyone looking for a church home or needing Christ in your life, we invite you to come forward. Let us stand and sing. Hosanna and praise to God in the highest. This morning, you are in for a treat. There is a wonderful feast waiting for us downstairs, and I promise there is plenty of food for everyone here. Even if you just showed up as a guest today and you didn't know the meal was happening, we hope that you will stay and enjoy a time of fellowship with us. There's turkey and ham and all the trimmings. As you head downstairs into Fellowship Hall, go ahead and find a table. Sit with someone you know or someone you don't know and get acquainted with one another. You're welcome to help yourselves to drinks on your way down. Once everyone has found a seat, we will have a grace, a blessing for the meal, and then we'll be dismissed by tables to share in this wonderful lunch. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O God of abundant harvests, we give thanks for this day and pray your blessing upon us that we may bless others. For we who have bread, give us hearts broken open for the world that we may share with those who are hungry. For we who have your word, give us hearts overflowing with love that we may speak of the kindness and grace of Jesus to those we meet. May your blessing, O God, be upon us this day and in the week to come. Amen.
Cross the line, I'm stepping out, so come what may, I give it all, 'cause I'm drawn to you.